I want to ask this right off the bat. How many people here, who of you, with a show of hands, have done something really stupid? All the hands should have gone up then, right? Really wrong, something, so you've committed some kind of act that you had to be forgiven for. Raise your hands if that's ever happened to you. You're in good company. Me too. Me too. And those that didn't raise your hands, you're going to have to be forgiven for lying, because I know that you did something that needed forgiveness. I really do. The thing I think about too is, husbands, I know you had to raise your hand, because we need a lot of forgiveness, don't we? We really do. There's a guy named Robert Heinlein, and he says this. He says, women will forgive anything. Otherwise, the human race would have died out long ago. They would have killed us. Ah, so they forgive us. We all need to be in the fellowship of the forgiven and the fellowship of the forgiving. And we're going to talk about that today. We need to have both. Jesus knew this. He continually taught this. He shared parables about this. He pulled disciples aside, and he taught them about some of this stuff. And he needs to be, he was saying, you need to be forgiven, but you also need to be forgiving. When the disciples came to Jesus and they asked him to teach them how to pray, this idea of forgiveness and forgiving others, it was central to the prayer that he taught them. This thing that we're calling the Lord's Prayer. We're in this study this right now, and it's called the Lord's Prayer. And we're breaking it down line by line. And there's one line, as we'll find out, that it talks all about, what do you think it is? Forgiveness, right. I'm glad that you listened for the last 5 minutes. It's all about forgiveness. We're going to take a look at the Lord's Prayer right now, and I'm going to put it up on the screen. Typically, we read this out loud together, but I'm going to just read it out loud myself, because a little bit later in the sermon, we're going to have an opportunity to read it out loud again, okay? So Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 says this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Do you see where this idea of forgiveness comes into play there? It says this, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Or as you may have learned it as a child, we learned it this way, I know. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So what is a debt? A debt is when someone owes you something, right? So we're coming to God and we're saying, Lord, forgive. I owe you something. Please forgive me that for that. And also let me forgive someone else's debt. And what's a trespass? Trespass is like when you cross the line, right? How about like when there's a sign up and it says, private property, do not enter on the penalty of being shot. And then you go in anyway. Not that I ever did that when I was a kid, but that's a trespass. It's to cross the line. These words all come from this Greek word. It's called ophthalema. And it can be translated as debts, trespasses, sins, and offenses. Some of your scriptures, some of your Bibles there, you might have a different translation, trespass, sin, debt. It might say some of those things. It all comes from this same word. And it brings in this idea that there is something that has been done that offended someone, that hurt someone, that went against them. And we are asking God to forgive us for doing that to him. And we're asking God to help us to forgive others for those that have done that to us. So here's the question. How have you offended him? How have you offended him? How have you sinned or gone over the line or trespassed? Just take a moment to think about that. And I'll bet, even as you're thinking, some of you, something major popped up in your mind. You're thinking about what happened back in high school that you still don't know if you're forgiven for today. Or you think about that how you've been unfaithful in a relationship. Or you think about how you get angry at your kids all the time. Or maybe the times when you lose your temper with your husband or your spouse. Or that time that you blacked out and you don't remember it. Or those times that you do that. Or the times that you visit porn sites. Or whatever it may be. Whatever your thought was, how you've offended God. Think about that for a second with me. Okay? Some pretty awful stuff, huh? And I'll bet that if you think about that, you feel guilty. And you know why that is? Because you are guilty. I am guilty. We're guilty of this stuff. But there's some good news. There's some really good news here. Whoop, wait a minute. No, that's not her. Okay. It's my wife playing words with friends. All right. So things must be okay on the home front. But here's some good news. Okay. First John, let me get there. First John says, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful. Everybody say that. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. He's faithful. That's the good news. You are guilty, but he's faithful to forgive you. And this forgiveness, God's forgiveness, it's free. You don't have to go through the motions. You don't have to say all these different types of prayers. You don't have to offer a sacrifice. You don't have to flagellate yourself. You don't have to go to confession at a church or pay money or light candles or do any of that. But you know what you do? You confess, he forgives. It's free. And also, it's complete. You don't have to keep going back to God for the same old things, the same thing that you did in high school, you did wherever it was. You don't have to do that. It's complete. We confess, he forgives. God's all about forgiveness. We can learn a lot about him from some Old Testament scriptures. Take a look at some of these things with me here. It says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. It's pretty far. If you, O Lord, kept the record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you, there is forgiveness. You have put all my sins behind your back. I, yes, I alone am the one who blots out your sins for my own sake and will never think of them again. You will trample our sins under your feet and throw them into the depths of the ocean. You get the mental picture of what God does with your transgression, with my sin, with our debt? He does this. He takes it and he forgives us. He removes it. He keeps no record. He puts them behind his back. He blots them out. He makes them as far away from us as the east is from the west. And he tramples them under his feet and proverbial throws them in the ocean. But we hold on to it. So here's the big idea that I want you to leave with today. One big idea. I want two big ideas, but here's the first one. And it's this. You are forgiven. You are forgiven. When we pray, our Father, and we're praying, forgive us our debts, he forgives our debts. He's faithful to do that. The whole purpose of Jesus going to the cross was for that forgiveness. And then we act like that forgiveness isn't for us. We act like that whole deal of the cross was not worth it. We come to Jesus and we say, hey, look, I believe that you can die for people's sins. And I believe that you came and God so loved the world and you love the world. But my stuff, my sin, what I bring to the table, it's too big for you. We think that. We might not say it, but we think that. And Jesus is saying, nothing is too big for me. I can forgive everything. Everything. There's a hymn that we sing around here sometimes, and I sang it yesterday at a funeral, and when I sang this stanza, it really stood out to me in light of this message here. It's called It Is Well, and it says this. My sin, oh the joy of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. He died not for part of our sin, not for the little sins, but the whole of our sins. And he nailed it to the cross. He nailed those sins to the cross when he was up there. And then we keep trying to take them down, saying, you can't forgive me, you can't forgive me. He can. So So when we pray, forgive us our debts, he took my debt and he paid it in full. You are forgiven. So back to this line in the Lord's Prayer. This time I'd like to read it out loud together. So if you can join me, let's read it here. It says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Keep going. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Read it. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I have done this, some of you are smiling, I have done this at least a half dozen times at different places, and it always happens the same way. It does say in the Bible, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. But that's not what it says next in this prayer. To be honest with you, I don't like what it says next in this prayer. It says this, for if you forgive other people, when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. At first glance, I look at that and I go, whoa. Jesus is making it clear. Actually, he's making it clear two times in this whole section right here that we are, sure, we get forgiven by God, but we are to forgive others. And this conditional statement that he's making here, and it kind of scares me. When I start thinking about it, if I don't really dig deep into it, and maybe you're thinking the same thing. Maybe you're saying, wow, you know, if that's the case, what can we do? Christians are called to forgive. And sometimes, many times, most times, it's a really hard thing to do, isn't it? I think C.S. Lewis gets it right when he says this. He says, everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. Yeah. So Jesus is pretty serious about this. Read this again. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. So you might be thinking, oh no, if I haven't forgiven so-and-so, or if I have bitterness towards so-and-so because of all that bad stuff that they did for me, does that mean I'm not a Christian? Does that mean I'm not forgiven? That's a good question to be asking. It really is. It really is. I think the key to the answer to that is this. The key to the answer is the whole of this passage, starting in Matthew chapter 5 through Matthew chapter 7, when Jesus is teaching what's called the Sermon on the Mount. And his whole thing was to point out our sin and our lack of being able to follow the law of God and our need for forgiveness and our need to forgive others. And he said this, it's a heart matter. It's not a matter of obeying these specific laws and doing these specific things and everything. Everything he talked about, he says, it's what is your heart. How is your heart? So when we're looking at this scripture here, I'm not sure. I don't believe it's saying this. I don't believe it's saying to people, well, if you're trying to forgive someone but you're having a hard time, if that person really nailed it to you and you're going, man, God, I am just trying, but I just can't. You know, will you help me or whatever? I don't think that God's holding back forgiveness from you. But this statement, I believe, is for the someone that says, I will not forgive them. I will not let go of this. I am going to be bitter to them. I am going to be angry with them. And I will not let go of this. It leads to the second big idea that I want you to take out of here today. And it's this. Forgiven people forgive. I think the most Christ-like thing that we can do is not to give a lot of money to the church, it's not to serve at the community meal, it's not to resist temptation, it's not to memorize the Bible or to pray a whole lot. The most Christ-like thing to do, the most way that we can be like Jesus is to forgive. Jesus was on the cross. He had been betrayed. He had been beaten. He had been spit at. And he looks at everybody there and he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Forgiven people forgive. The apostle Peter, he was struggling with this. You're not the only ones. He was struggling with this. He came to Jesus one time after Jesus was teaching about reconciling differences with someone else. And he said, Jesus, how many times should I forgive someone? And by context, it seems like he was thinking about someone just like you are thinking about someone. And he says, should I forgive him seven times? I think that Peter had some confusion in his mind when he's asking about that, because I think he's asking about that because he's thinking, when I forgive someone, I'm doing something for them. I'm giving something to them. Forgiveness is for the benefit of the offender. But Jesus, as he's going to point out, the forgiveness is not for the benefit of the offender. Forgiveness is for your benefit. Forgiveness, when you forgive. See, it's like this. When someone does something to us, and here we go. Okay, start thinking about that someone or those someones. When someone does something to us that seems so bad, so unforgivable, we kind of say they owe us a debt. They owe us something. We hold them in debt. It's like when your boss passes you over for a promotion, and you say, he owes me. Or your husband is saying, you know, she doesn't pay attention to me. She owes me affection. Seems like Peter is thinking about someone here, and he's asking, Lord, how can I forgive this person? I've forgiven him six times already, maybe. Do I go? Where do I cross the line? Where do I say, this is enough? Jesus understood Peter's confusion, and he tells a story that kind of helps to clear it up, but it also makes it really messy for all of us. Read this with me. Then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? No, not seven times, replied Jesus, but 70 times seven. Ouch! Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. The King James Version says this. Someone was brought in that owed him 10,000 talents. A talent is 72.7 pounds of gold. Do the math with me here, okay? 72 pounds of gold is one talent. There's 10,000 talents. That equals about $14 trillion in today's. I wonder what the guy did to get in that debt. You know, really, what was he doing? But Jesus is telling this story to be able to say this. This guy had a debt he could not repay. There's no way he could repay this. No matter how long, no matter how hard he tried, there's just absolutely no way he could repay this debt. All right? So he couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife and his children and everything he owned to pay for the debt. That's the way they did things back in those days. Good thing they don't do that now, huh? Okay. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me and I will pay it all. Then his master was filled with pity for him and he released him. And get this, he forgave his debt. He didn't say, listen, okay, you still owe me and you can take your time, just pay as you want, as you can, just a little bit at a time. He said he forgave $14 trillion. But then the man left the king, and he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars, and he grabbed him by the throat, and he demanded instant payment. The King James Version talks about this. He owed him 100 denarii, and 100 denarii, one denarius is like one day's wage. So that might be, if you figure out, if you do the math, that might be about $11,000. And that is a debt that could be paid, right? How many here have ever taken out a car loan or a student loan or a house loan for at least $11,000? Raise your hand. Okay. So a lot of us have. And that can be paid off with time, with patience, with hard work and everything. So the idea is this guy was probably working to pay off of his debt. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. Be patient with me and I will pay it. Does that sound familiar? He pleaded, but his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. I just wonder how that could happen, right? When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. And they went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called the man he had forgiven and said, "You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he paid his entire debt. Pretty harsh, huh? Really is pretty harsh. After he told this, I think about this time, Peter is wishing, I wish I didn't ask that question. Because he's realizing that this story, Jesus is pointing out, Peter, that's you. And this story, he's pointing out to you and to me, that's us. And then Jesus puts in the kicker. He says this: "That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you," here's the word, "refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart." So the moral of the story is that if you refuse to forgive someone, the Heavenly Father may treat you the same way. He's saying forgiveness is really, really important. Why is forgiveness really important? Two ways, I think. Because the first thing is that God knows that when we have unforgiveness, that we hit the self-destruct button in our lives. Forgiveness doesn't hurt. Unforgiveness doesn't hurt the people we're not forgiving. In fact, some of you have unforgiveness for people that are dead. It doesn't hurt them at all, but it is killing you. It's just a matter of time that as you deal with this thing and you don't forgive, that bitterness and anger and hurt and all of that stuff, instead of you having that, it has you. And it's captured you and it's imprisoned you. And your heart can't go free. I've seen this over and over and over in relationships. Two people get in a relationship. And the first one has had something bad happen to them in the past. And they have never forgiven that person. And they bring that into the relationship, and what do you think happens? The same baggage, the same bitterness, the same anger, the same hatred happens again, and it crashes and it burns. And it will continue to do that until that person forgives the first person in their life. And also, I see it like, this has happened so many times that you blame your father for walking out on you, or your mom for being a drunk, or whatever it may be. And that's the reason why you're so bitter. And no, I cannot forgive them. And you take that into your parenting skills. And before you know it, you have a 13-year-old that's saying, "I hate you, and I don't want anything to do with you," and she's gone. Because of your unforgiveness for the past. God wants us to forgive the other person, not because they deserve it, because a lot of these people don't. God wants us to forgive them because he knows it'll bring us peace and healing in our lives. As I was preparing this 2 days ago, I was out walking in the woods with my dog, and I was thinking about this thing, and it occurred to me that I've been holding on to something for over 20 years. A former employer of mine, there was this contest type of thing, and selling pianos and selling keyboards, and if you sold these different things, you'd make money. And I had made about $2,800, and that money was mine. Yamaha company said it was mine. My boss said, "No, that's for us." And the Yamaha company said, "No, it's his." They said, "No, we're keeping it." And I thought of that, and I realized I have never forgiven them for that. And I had to do business out in the woods there. And I'm doing business this morning with that too. Because every time I think of it, I get angry. Every time I think of it, I get bitter. And I haven't let go of it. And this morning, I promise you, I'm trying. I'm not going to be one of those people that says, I will not forgive. I am going to be one of those people that says, I'm trying to forgive, Lord. And then the second thing, I think, here, the reason why, not only because it's good for us, I think it's this. I think Jesus, when he was saying these words, we're going to ask the band to come back up right now. When Jesus was saying these words and talking about forgiving others as you and God, as God forgives you here, he was just days away from Calvary. And he knew that when he was going to Calvary, that this truth would be sealed right here, that all of us, every one of us in this place, would lose our right to refuse to forgive anyone else for anyone, anything that they did to us. Because Jesus, he decided to die for you, and when he decided to die for you, the Heavenly Father knew that you would turn your back on him, knew that you'd be hitting those porn sites. He knew that you would tell lies and that you would break hearts. He knew that you would be selfish and careless, and he knew you'd be unfaithful, and he knew all the promises that you would make and break. He knew all of that stuff, and yet, here he is on the cross, and he says, forgive them. He's forgiven you. He died for you anyway. There's a Hebrew word for forgiveness, and it's called salak. Salak means to have hatred in one's fist and to release it. Hatred in one's fist, and you just release it. Think again about that ultimate example of forgiveness that Jesus did. Here he is. He was beaten, lied to, mocked. Hit with reeds, hit with whips, made to carry this 100-pound cross, nails in his hands and his feet, and spear in his side, and he could have said, I won't forgive these people. Who would blame him? And yet he says, I do forgive them. And he opened his hands, and he forgave us. Salak. To have hatred in one's fist and to release it. In a moment, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And we don't always end this way, but I really am sensing this. I'm going to lead us in a healing type of prayer. And you might be thinking throughout this whole thing, you know what? I'm like Glenn. I've been holding on to this thing for a while. And maybe it's time for me to get rid of it. And you're thinking, yeah, what right do I have not to forgive someone when Christ, who was perfect, forgave me for all my crap? I shocked myself by saying that. I'm sorry. But it's true. Or you might be saying, you know what? I've been so unforgiving. I recognize that it is ruining my life, ruining my health, ruining my relationships, and it is time. It is time to do something. There's three things I want you to consider as we pray here right now. First thing is identify that, think about it as the prayer says, that we are canceling a debt. Something that is owed to us, we are going to cancel it. I want you to think of that person and what they did to you. Think of it as a debt. Now I want you to think this. Could they possibly repay you for that? I mean, if someone stole $100 from you, sure they could. But if someone broke your heart, no. I want you to look at that and choose to cancel that debt. Be able to say this morning, you don't owe me anymore. You don't. You refuse, and this is the hard part, refuse to ever bring up that debt again. The problem is, the forgiving, it doesn't erase our memory, and so we think about these things, and something stirs up in us. But this beginning, this newness, this turning it over, this releasing get to God will be the start of something that, so when you start remembering these things, you will not have the bitterness that you used to have. It can happen. It can happen. I guarantee you. So this is how I'd like to pray. There's two ways we're going to pray. The first half of this sermon was about being forgiven and recognizing the forgiveness that God offers us. And some of you just have never done that. You've never confessed your sins. You've never come to Him. And you, some of you think that you are too much of a sinner, that you're too big for God. I want you to come to Him and pray to Him for forgiveness. And then others, we're thinking about, and maybe we need to do both of these. Others, we're thinking about that person that we need to forgive. And I'd like you to do this, both of you, both of those sets of people. I'd like to have us close our eyes. And if you are ready to pray this prayer with me, I want you to hold your fist up in the air. A clenched, tight fist. No one's looking. And I want you to pray this way with me. And you can make it your own, but I'll lead us in this. Heavenly Father, that's what we call you in this prayer. A Father of compassion, you see past our sin. And you see our pain. You see the things that have happened to us that clench our fists and bind our hearts up. Lord, I pray first of all for all of us that need to bring our sin, our debt, our trespasses, our offenses to you, Lord God. I pray that we may be able to give it over to you, that which is held so tightly in our fist, we can release to you, Lord God, because we know that you are faithful to forgive. Now, I want you, if you're praying that prayer with me, I want you to just take a moment right now and say, and it doesn't have to be out loud, but it can be, say what it is that you are praying for. What do you need forgiveness for? Now I want you to continue this prayer with me, still eyes closed, still hands clenched. Go ahead. Lord, I recognize now, maybe I didn't realize it before, I recognize as I look to Calvary, I recognize what you did for me, and what right do I have not to forgive someone else? And I also recognize that it is killing me, literally killing me. It's killing my relationships. Killing my family, my loved ones, my job, my health. And I come and I'm offering this person up to you. I think of that person, of those people. And now, Lord, I am offering this offense to you. Think of what they did specifically.